What's up, guys? Welcome to another edition of the Current Era Pod. I'm your host, Julian, and today we have news, reviews, updates, tidbits, factoids. There's so many things to discuss in this episode, guys. Monty and I are going to give our reviews of Invincible Season 2, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, and of course, the highly touted Monkey Man that just came out in theaters last week. So there's a lot of things to discuss. I think that's it, though, guys. Actually, no, it's not. It's not it. Listen to this. Guys, we're on YouTube. I keep forgetting to plug the YouTube channel on the pod version. I'm so sorry. Guys, we are on YouTube. You can just search The Current Era Podcast, youtube.com/The Current Era Podcast on YouTube to see our live reactions. And that's it. Let's go ahead and get straight to the episode. Andy, what's up, man? I don't know if we have a lot. Well, I have a lot to discuss. There's a lot of news, reviews, updates, tidbits, and factoids to get to. I'm excited, man. I'm excited. It's been a little while. Streets is talking. They needed that new news pod, so let's get into it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's talk about some stuff in the works to pop it off. Okay. Bow Wow. Makes a post on social media seemingly confirming that Lottery Ticket 2 is going to be happening.
I think this was an April Fool's joke.
You think so?
I think so. I'm pretty sure he posted it on April Fool's. I'm pretty sure he did, and I fucking fell for it. And it's so funny because
I want this.
Yeah, right. Like I want this to be true so bad. But
does he win a lottery twice?
Right. You know. Yeah. Like it makes no sense, like, logically. But I would have opening night, like Brendan C. Jackson, Terry Crews, Ice Cube. Like I want them all back.
Well, that's how you pop off the pod today. Okay. Anyway.
What if it is true? Give me your level of excitement for Lottery Ticket 2.
I mean, come on, 10. What the fuck? It's like, this is those movies that we just need, bro. Like once or twice a year, just to have them, experience them, man. We need them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's so funny because this and Takers came out around the same time in the movie theater. This is back when I was working at the movie theater in Aubrey Place Mall. Yeah, and like I saw this movie literally like 100 times. Like I would watch this and Takers endlessly, man. And I love this fucking movie. I wish that this was true, but I really think it was April Fool's joke. I really do.
All right, Shad Moss, fuck you. Freaky Friday 2 will follow Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis's characters as they body swap with two teenage girls. One of the girls will be the daughter of Anna. I'm not sure which one Anna is, but does this plot line intrigue you?
No. No, it doesn't. But the original plot line didn't intrigue me either. So I still end up loving that movie. So, you know, we'll see. I'll have to see more. Is it too late for this? I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know.
What do you think? No, I totally agree. I think Lindsay Lohan's burnt out.
Damn.
I think it's way too late for this movie to happen. Of course, I'm going to watch it. I was a big fan of the original Freaky, our original Freaky Friday. That was a remake of another movie. But I think it's weird that they're swapping with two teenage girls. I think the idea of like an older lady being Jamie Lee Curtis and like a lady in her 30s, like Lindsay Lohan, swapping bodies would be a whole different dynamic to the Freaky Friday thing. Like, because there's differences in lives of a 30-year-old woman and a 60, 70-year-old woman as well. So I would have loved it if they play with that idea. I thought that made more sense because they swapped bodies in the first one.
I'm about to say, but like, wouldn't that be redundant because that's exactly what they did in the first one? So they're trying to do something different?
If anything, this is more redundant. Now they have to experience what it's like to be a teenager again as an adult. Like, that's even more redundant than just having Lindsay Lohan now experience like what it means to be an old lady now, you know?
I don't think so, man.
I think so.
Just because like when we were teenagers versus teenagers now, like it's like a totally different world. Like it's kind of like that 21 Jump Street thing where like, you think something's cool and then you're like, whoa, actually that's like extremely offensive now. You know what I'm saying? So like maybe that's the route they're going. I don't know.
No, that's actually a good point. Yeah. From the angle of like generations, I guess could be cool, I guess. Well, I didn't think about that. We'll live action Monopoly movie will be produced by Margot Robbie.
By who? Okay.
And Warner Brothers gave her the keys at the Barbie. They gave her the keys because she was a producer on Barbie as well. So I don't know all what right. This movie could possibly be. Just a whole bunch of real estate agents going right. around. Like, I'll buy that for $2 for your property.
Like, you're bankrupt, bitch. Get out of here.
If you could imagine a Monopoly like a serious ass movie, like an Oscar contending Monopoly movie.
No, I can't. I can't, and I'm not gonna watch this. This gets filed away under the Hot Cheetos, and what was the new one? Tetris, all that shit. Get that the fuck out of here.
You heard that Tetris movie is actually really, really good. I haven't seen it though. A new Matrix film is in the works.
Oh God.
First of all, I think Matrix needs to die, even though I love it. It's one of the most iconic films of all time. At first, I was kind of excited because, okay, they're going to maybe reboot it because that last Matrix, I forgot what it was called, was just not it. Mm-hmm. But no, this is Matrix 5, so this is still in the continuity. So I'm like, oh my God. What are your thoughts?
Bro, Matrix, I think it was Retribution or something like that.
No, it wasn't that. It was something.
Whatever the fourth one was, I literally still have not seen it. And I have no desire to see it, bro. Like,
you're like the biggest Matrix fan ever. That's crazy.
But you can't keep doing this. You can't keep doing this. I am not one of those fans that just blindly follow things just because you put something out. I'm not. I never have been, and I never fucking will be. All the promo and trailers that I saw for that movie leading up to it, I was just like, this looks bad to the point where, like, I don't want to support it. Everything I've heard since has just confirmed that. Now, obviously, I really should watch the film and formulate my own opinion. But holy fuck, I don't know anybody that likes that movie. I say all that to say look, I'm going to have an open mind about this film, okay? I am. Okay. And if the promo looks better than what they gave us for the fourth one, then I will go back and watch the fourth so I can watch the fifth. But as of right now, I don't care about this. I'm not excited for this. Not even like a little bit. I really don't want this to happen.
I would actually love to hear your thoughts on the fourth one. I don't think you're going to like it, but I would just love to hear what you got to say about it. Because they do take some very interesting, I don't know if anything was spoiled for you, but some very interesting things happen in part four that kind of retcons the, I don't know, but I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Dune Messiah is officially in development at Legendary. So
no surprise.
What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, no surprise. I mean, I will say that I'm kind of surprised that Dune Part 2 has only made $600 to $700 million worldwide. I figured that it would be a surefire billion-dollar thing, but it's just not. Like, Kong and Godzilla have already surpassed it, which is kind of crazy. But then again, it's not because...
Wait, Kong and Godzilla already surpassed $700 million, or are they already just passed their opening weekend for Dune 2?
They've passed... Their worldwide is higher than Dune Part 2 right now. Yeah. So, but again, like that really isn't a huge surprise to me because of the, I mean, it's already in this built-in established universe, and like, it's more of an easy watch to the average family than a Dune is. So I get it, but that's insane. Anyway, yeah. I mean, Dune Messiah. Yeah, I can't wait. Opening night, bitch.
Don't do that.
I love all the TikTok edits. Under the sea.
It's so many edits, bro. But two things on that. That's interesting what you just said. Yeah, like you said, Kong Godzilla have been around since the fucking 30s. So they have built in IP that people are familiar with.
Yep.
So that and I think Dune, like you said, it's, even though it's like a grand scale of a scope of a film, is still kind of a niche thing, which is, it kind of toes that line. Like, you got to really follow the lore. Like, you just can't throw on Dune and be like, okay, let's just watch it with the family, like, without having any context. Like, you gotta have to, like, you know. And so I think that's why maybe it's not reaching that billion-dollar status yet, which I still don't think that means anything, but I think it should, though, just based off the merit of the film itself. And it's weird too, because the director, Denis Villeneuve, is had like four projects he's working on right now. So I'm like, is he even going to put this, make this a priority, even though it's been greenlit? And they better not go with like a different director. I won't even trust nobody else besides Denis at this point. And so, yeah, that's kind of worrisome. But hopefully this will be made in the next 4 years at least, because I know Denis is very busy right now.
Yeah. I think it's funny that you call him Denis like you know him. Like, nigga, you don't know this nigga. This nigga's name is Dennis.
Top five director. No, it's Dennis, but I think it's pronounced Denis Villeneuve. That's why I was saying like that. I think it's pronounced Denis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm wrong and you're right.
Hopefully. I could be wrong, but I could have swore I've heard it pronounced Denis Villeneuve. Anyway.
Okay, got it.
let's talk some Marvel and Star Wars news. No DC news this week, guys. Sorry, DC fans. Julia Gardner has been casted as the female Silver Surfer in the new Fantastic Four movie. So for those who don't know who Julia Gardner is, if you're a fan of Ozark, great show. I recommend it. She played Ruth. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to fucking kill me. That's her iconic scene from that show. But this is a nuts casting. It's been rumored for a while. I didn't think they had the balls to do it. But some things have come out that kind of eased my mind a little bit. But still, what are your thoughts on this initial cast?
So I think that when the news was released, honestly, it wasn't super triggering. And that's just because the headline said a female Silver Surfer. And I was just like, oh, okay, whatever. That doesn't mean that this is the Silver Surfer that we're going to get. That just means that this is a female Silver Surfer. And based on the headline, I was just like, okay, I do think it's pandering, but I'm okay with a female Silver Surfer. Now, if the headline had read Julia Gardner has been cast as the female Silver Surfer for the new fan, then I would have been like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, what are we doing? But hey, I mean, I have no problem with her being in the film. Honestly, I think that this is going to be a one shot. Like, she'll be in this one. She may have a cameo in future films, but like, from everything that I've seen, everything that I've read, and yes, I've had to do research on this, she's not going to be the Silver Surfer. So I have no problem with it. Ultimately, I really don't.
First of all, I just want to say I love Julia Gardner. I think she's super talented.
I think
she deserves all the success that she's going to get.
Okay.
But when I first read this, I was like, is this April Fool's? Like, this is April 1st? Like, I was looking at my calendar, like, this can't be right. And sure enough, like you said, there are two things that kind of helped ease my mind. Number one, like you said, is a Silver Surfer. And there actually is a female Silver Surfer in the comics, like a counterpart to the Silver Surfer. And number two is that it's been rumored that this is not even taking place. This whole movie is not even taking place in the main MCU timeline. Mm-hmm. They're taking place in the 70s or something like that. In some 60s. Alternate timeline, 60s, some alternate timeline. So maybe when they come back to 616, then we'll get the Silver Surfer. I'm not sure. So those things, I don't want a female Silver Surfer if that is the Silver Surfer, because that just doesn't make any fucking sense. And I would just be pandering at an all-time high, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Lakeith Stanfield actually reacted to this news. He posted on his Instagram, which he quickly had taken off, I thought it was going to be me. And after thinking about it, like, I could see you being a Silver Surfer, actually.
I thought he was trolling.
Would you be here for a Lakeith Stanfield Silver Surfer?
I don't think so, man. Yeah.
You're not big on Lakeith, are you?
I'm not, man. Like, he keeps letting me down. Like, he keeps letting me down. Like, with just his little stoic, I don't care demeanor, man. And like, everything that he does, like, maybe it's endearing to some people. And look, that's just who he is. Like, he's pretty much been that guy in everything. But I just, It just doesn't work for me anymore. Now, one could argue that a stoic, I don't care demeanor would be great for Silver Surfer, the character, to an extent. But I don't know, man. I'm not sure that I would ultimately love that casting. No, sorry.
I could see it. For all the Star Wars fans out there who play video games, there's a story trailer now out for Star Wars Outlaws, which the game comes out August 30th. And now there's also a trailer.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also a trailer as well for Tales of the Jedi, which is out now, guys, if you want to see it. It comes out May 4th on Star Wars Day. I'm sorry, Tales of the Empire. Tales of the Jedi was the one that came out last year. That's like a, what's the word? Anthology of like different Jedi that we have, like Dooku and Ahsoka.
Did you actually watch that? Called,
I didn't. Okay. But I know it's canon, though. I heard it's actually pretty good.
Oh, really?
And this one is called Tales of the Empire, which is like the Empire side of like their anthology. So did you watch the trailer, and do you have any kind of expectations about this show at all as a Star Wars fan?
Yeah, so I did watch the trailer. They have pretty much everyone that we know that I saw, from Vader to Palpatine to what's the nigga from The Phantom Menace?
Darth Maul?
Maul, yeah. You know, they pretty much got something for everyone. I will say, the way that they framed it, I don't know if like these guys are going to get episodes, but like, they may just be in it to an extent, which is fine. You know, that's fine, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Tales of the Jedi. I don't even remember why. It probably came and went, and I just forget that it happened. So, I mean, I'm honestly more looking forward to this than I was Tales of the Jedi, but I wouldn't be surprised if I skip over this too.
Yeah, as a big Star Wars fan, even though it's canon, I'm not sure if I'm going to watch this. Like I said, I have to hear more things about it. But then again, I heard good things about Tales of the Jedi. I still didn't watch that. So maybe I'll go back and watch it. I don't know. This just doesn't interest me for some reason. Mm. Daisy Ridley says that she would love to see Finn become a Jedi in her new Star Wars film coming out.
Bitch.
Would you like to see John Boyega's Finn take on the role of a Jedi, which was teased, obviously, in the last film?
Ultimately, would I love to see him on that mountaintop? Of course I would. But I am just, I'm, I don't know if I'll ever let it go. I really don't. I am still so salty on how they did him in The Force Awakens. So yeah, I mean, look, yeah, I guess I said it. Ultimately, I would love to see it, but I'm still holding on to that, to what they did. So, yeah, I don't think it's ever going to happen.
Of course, I want to see John Boyega's Finn as a Jedi, but the real question is, will Disney even take this nigga back at the way he said? Like, he was bad mouthing him for real. Like,
yeah.
So I'd be interested to see if Disney would even be open to the conversation. I'm sure maybe they would.
They would. Possibly. They would.
He didn't say anything too crazy, but he just, you don't see too many actors like come out against Disney, you know? So, which I give him respect for. Hiroyuki Sanada says he'd like to star, or not star, but just be in Star Wars in a project of some sorts. Would you be here for it?
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I think I would. I probably reacted somewhat negatively just because I just didn't think that it would logically happen, at least on the silver screen. But then again, we're supposed to be getting all these new films, so... I mean, look, we know he can act. We know he has the physicality. Hopefully they don't just make him like a caricature. Jesus Christ. Make him like a fucking samurai. But yeah, I mean, if he wants to be in it, sure. Let's do it.
All right. Anakin Sama. We have some some details on Jesus. James Mangold's new Star Wars movie that's coming out. Of course, James Mangold is director of movies like Logan, the latest Indiana Jones film. Apparently, this film follows the origins of the Jedi, which sounds really, really cool, set 25,000 years in the past. So Star Wars, Disney era is branching out and doing different eras that we've never seen before. I mean, would you be here for seeing the origin of how Jedis came to be?
Yeah. I mean, I would, yes, but like, you know, is that going to appeal to the masses? I don't know. Money. You know, you and every other diehard Star Wars fan, you guys are going to blindly support everything, and that's fine. But the overwhelming majority of people aren't, you know, diehard Star Wars fans. So if you want this to go to the movie theater, you want it to actually make money, maybe this is the way to go. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, is my mom going to go see this? Probably not. So, yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's cool. I think, like I said, it opens the door and it also opens the door to seeing 25,000 years in the past up until episode one. Like, that's a lot of stories. So, I love the fact, I mean, I don't like the Disney era as a whole, but I love the fact that they're doing ambitious stuff like this, at least. It's really cool. Just also speaking of Star Wars, George Lucas is the world's richest celebrity.
Is
he has $5.5 billion net worth, which is I didn't know he was balling like that, but maybe it makes sense. I mean, he started that whole THX sound system, I believe. He was one of the founding fathers of like CGI. Of course, selling Star Wars to Disney gets him a lot of fucking money. So maybe all his endeavors are just coming together. But Jesus Christ, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot. Why? Okay, so like, why is he a celebrity and why is Elon Musk not a celebrity? I don't get this list.
I'm sorry, richest director, not celebrity.
Oh, okay, got
sorry.
It.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, that's a great point. just for shits and giggles, at number two is Steven Spielberg at $4.8 billion. I had no idea Steven Spielberg was a fucking billionaire. Did you know that?
Terminator?
Steven Spielberg.
Oh, Titanic. Avatar.
Steven Spielberg. James Cameron did that.
Who the fuck? Okay, well, what the fuck did he do?
Steven fucking Spielberg, the most iconic director of all time. Jurassic Park, Jaws.
There we go. Like, okay. Okay. So, like, clearly he did something. Nigga, help me. Whatever.
Okay. But I'm saying, like, come on now. Anyway.
Jurassic Park. Okay. Yeah. Jaws, which is ass. Anyway. Deep Blue Sea, guys. Deep Blue Sea is the greatest shark movie of all time.
At number three is Peter Jackson at $1.5 billion.
Not King Kong, know. Peter Jackson.
King Kong, Peter Jackson, and of course, the more iconic Lord of the Rings. Yeah. But, like, I had no idea that these directors were balling like this. I was like, oh shit, like this is kind of crazy. But anyway, now for some sad news. Actor Chance Perdomo, who on Gen V, who played the character Andre, has passed away at the age of 27 in a motorcycle accident. This is super, super crazy out of nowhere. Sad. He was like a major character on the show. Gen V season 2 production has been halted indefinitely following his passing. Because filming was actually going to start this month. So just,
damn.
I don't think you didn't watch Gen V, right?
No, I didn't.
Andre was like one of the top like three on the call sheet. So it's just, he's the black character on the show. Just really, really crazy. And yeah, I feel bad for his family, castmates, everybody who, you know, was attached to him. All right. Okay.
What? No. So, I mean, do you think they're going to recast, or are they just going to stop the show, or what?
They got to recast only because the way that Gen V played out, it ties in directly to The Boys, into like the actual, like The Boys season 4 actually. So, yeah, they got to recast, unfortunately. So it's gonna be rough. But
got it.
Yeah, let's talk some reviews. Did you finish any shows or movies?
Yeah. Let's do The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
Oh, it's over.
It is over.
Finally. Okay. Yeah, I would actually love your thoughts on this.
Yeah. So look, guys, I have been a fan of The Walking Dead for so long. Really since its inception. I actually started watching live after the mid season break in season 3. So this is when Daryl and I'm gonna call him Michael Rooker, that's not his fucking name in the show, Merle, were about to fight in the governor's little camp. That's literally when I started watching with everybody, which is pretty fairly early on. And since then, I have watched week to week. It was ritual television for me every Sunday, 9 o'clock, followed by The Talking Dead with Chris Hardwick for fucking 10 years, it felt like, until the pandemic. The pandemic came and killed it off, which was weird because there was only one episode left until the season finale, I think, of season 10. And that got pushed back like 6 months. By that time I was already falling off of the show. The show had just became redundant, repetitive. And by that time, Rick, who was one of my favorite characters, was gone. Michonne, who was one of my favorite characters, was gone. Carl, who's one of my favorite characters, was gone. Glenn, who's one of my favorite characters, was gone. So the show was always about the characters, but the characters that I actually really cared about just weren't there anymore. So I was hanging on just because I was a fan for so long, and I was trying, like I really was trying to like force myself to love the show. But in reality, I was falling out of love with it. And once the pandemic happened, it kind of just gave me an excuse to just kind of wash my hands with it. And I really didn't pick it back up. So like when they continued in late 2020, early 2021, or whatever it is, and they went on with season 11 and like they ended the show, I like didn't even care. I didn't follow along with it at all. I did see how it ended because obviously the comic book version is different from the TV version. So I know how both of them ended. I know who's alive and who's not, and I'm not going to spoil that for anyone. Needless to say, when this show was announced, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, with Rick and Michonne returning as, or goddamn it, with Andrew Lincoln and Danai Gurira returning as Rick and Michonne respectively, I was super excited. They're two of my favorite characters. They were the heart of the show. They were the main reason that I was watching the show for so fucking long. And you know, originally this was supposed to come out in movies, in the movie theater. And you know, obviously plans changed and it ended up being this limited series, 6 episodes, whatever. Both of them were heavily involved with producing and writing in the show. I think with like the time that they put into these characters, it makes sense. Unfortunately though, this show was just meh. I think ultimately they wanted people to feel some type of closure with these characters because we never really got it. Because if you were watching the show, Rick tried to like sacrifice himself and he got carted off, and then we didn't see him for like 5 years. And it was just like, what? And then Michonne one day was just like, you know what? I'm going to go search for him. And she literally just left and was just like, I'll be back. And then we just didn't see her for like 5 years. Like, there was no closure. So in a sense, we did get some closure with these characters, but we didn't get the closure that I wanted. So ultimately, I was not happy. Now, was I satisfied? I was. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't satisfied. There's a very heartfelt moment at the end where I was like, okay, I'm satisfied with this conclusion of these characters. If I never see these characters again, okay, I get it. I'm fine. But ultimately, I wasn't happy enough to where I was like, this is a proper send-off for these characters. Now, people may agree, people may disagree, and that's totally fine. I mean, you know, that's, you know, this is all up for your interpretation, but the show was just more of the same. You know, it was, let's find a place to hunker down. This place is going to be compromised because there's some dick, and then we got to kill the dick, and we got to move on to another place.
That's literally why I left after like season 4, because I was like, it's that redundancy pattern started super early. But go ahead.
Yeah. No, it did. Yeah. And you know, look, you could argue that it's a zombie apocalypse. Like, what else are they going to do? However, like I said, the thing that kept me so long was the characters, man. And it was great to have them back, but they like sped to the finish line here. It was just like, they were like, I don't know. It was almost like AMC was just kind of like, here and bye. Anyway, I ended up giving this show a C. I think if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, obviously you're going to like it to some extent because it feels like The Walking Dead. Like it feels like it. Like it's got the crazy walkers. It's got the cool kills. It's got the great drama that you have in this show. But ultimately, man, it just felt so redundant, and the payoff wasn't big enough for me to say that this is a great show. But again, I do think it belongs because we needed something in terms of closure for these characters, but they could have went harder. That's just my opinion.
Okay. Are you going to be watching the Daryl show set in France?
I give no fuck about that. No. I literally don't care.
Okay. Did you finish any other shows or did you watch any movies?
Invincible, yeah. But I mean, we both finished that, so I figured we can just talk about it.
Let's jump into Invincible season 2. Give me your thoughts.
You can go ahead and go first, and I just did that long spiel.
Okay. Invincible, yeah. So this show continues to remind me of like the best parts of the DCAU, the DC Animated Universe, in regards to its voice acting, which is stellar. Its animation is even kind of similar to me to the DCAU in some capacity, and even its storytelling, I think, is the biggest component of why this show is just so fucking good, bro. Like, there's so many things that happen in season 1 that you might think are just filler or just like, you know, like one offs. And they find a way to kind of loop it back around to the grand scheme of things in some capacity. And it's like, wow, like that's just, it's like a puzzle piece. And also, I think the storytelling is so superb is that I care about literally everybody. Like, seeing Mark fight a giant sea serpent is, to me, is just as enthralling as watching Debbie go to counseling because she misses Omni-Man. Like, why is that scene? Like, why am I captivated by a cartoon going to therapy? Like, I shouldn't be, you know? And they make minor characters or characters that might be considered like, you know, ancillary. Like, they give them arcs and they're super important. At the end of the day, they feel like fleshed out people, like Rexplosion. Like, his redemption arc in this season was like literally amazing. I think he had one of the best fights with him versus the Lizard League. I was like, I'm like a Rexplosion fan now. I would have thought I'd never said that in season 1, you know. Amber, they definitely tried to course correct her after the fans were like, you know, so pissed off at her in season 1. I think Amber's cool, but honestly, I've always been rooting for Steve. I mean, I'm sorry. Who the fuck is Steve? Mark and Eve. But like, it's just like little things like that. Like, they always just keep the story fresh and moving in some kind of way. All the new voice actors that came to play, like Sterling K. Brown, of course, the iconic Peter Cullen, they all add so much to the voice cast and blend in seamlessly with the rest of the voice cast. That mid-season break was some bullshit. I will stand on that for the end of time. Like, to have four episodes and then to go months and months and months without anything, I literally almost was like, fuck this shit. Like, fuck y'all. Like, this is just like a slap in my face. And then as soon as it picked up episode five, I was like, okay, I'm back on board. Like, it was literally back in motion. But I will say this, though. The show did lose a lot of steam, I think, because there's a lot of people I've talked to, like, because like, I posted my review on Instagram. People were like, oh, shit, it's back out? Like, it lost relevance because all those months had went by and people just forgot it even came out. Other people besides us, obviously, I think definitely did lose some interest. So I think that was definitely a misstep on the show's behalf to have that long ass break in the midseason. And yeah, I guess I'll just kind of wrap up this broad scope review by just saying that, where was I? Yeah. Overall, I'm super excited for season three. I hope it doesn't take as long as it does for between season one and season two. I think this show is on the path right now to be end up being one of the best shows of all time from an animated standpoint. Like, right now, I have Avatar: The Last Airbender, but who knows by the time it's all said and done if Invincible might be able to pass it or not. So before you get into your review, do you think Invincible could pass Avatar: The Last Airbender in terms of like best animated show you've ever seen? Like, not including anime?
I mean, sure. Yeah, it has potential. I mean, it sounds like you like season two a little bit more than I did, but okay. That doesn't mean that, you know, it can't just keep going up. Like, this is still a great season. And I don't know if it was the mid-season break, but now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it was, because this was kind of a tough watch for me in some aspects. Oh, wow. So the Sterling K. Brown character, it just didn't hit for me. It just didn't hit for me like it hit for everybody else. The character felt a little irrelevant, pushed to the side. And then they tried to spring everything on me in the finale. I'm just like, okay. I mean, I don't know. To me, the meat and potatoes of this show is the Viltrumite thing. And I felt like in the first half of the season, we were going balls to the walls towards that. And then we just did like a full stop and we tried to focus on everything else in part two of the season. And that was a little disappointing for me because I'm just like, okay, like this whole Rex Blow thing is cool, but like, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, Duplicate was killed right in front of my eyes. I didn't care. You know, and I already knew that was going to be bullshit too. I will say it was hilarious that they had Steve Harvey as a Viltrumite. I just thought that was fucking funny as fuck. Like, they totally stole this nigga's likeness and like he's just like a Viltrumite now. I do agree with you in terms of like the voice actors that, I mean, I've always like gushed about the voice actors that they have on the show, but yeah, hearing Peter Cullen, it was super cool. Even like Carl Winslow being here is just hilarious to me that he's invincible. Like, what the fuck are you doing here? But yeah, man, look, I mean, to me, the Viltrumite thing is the coolest shit ever. And that's kind of what I want about the show. So like, you know, you were mentioning things like, you know, you care about Debbie going to counseling and all that shit. Like, that stuff has a place and it cool. It's cool. Like, it matters in terms of like the overall story. But a lot of times I wasn't watching this week to week. Like, I'm actually, I binged all four episodes. Once the finale was out, just because like, I just didn't care. I didn't care if I saw spoilers, nothing was spoiled. Yeah. Yeah. And I said that. Yeah. Like I'm openly admitting like it was because of that break. But it was also because the things that I were seeing weren't things that I cared about. It was like, I'm like, what are we doing with Omni-Man? Like in the first half break or whatever, we see him get carried away. And then like, we get like 5 minutes of story time about that for the rest of the season. It's just like, damn, like they are dragging this. Now look, there are some interesting wrinkles here. We have a new Viltrumite on the scene played by Patty Jenkins from The Flash. I can't remember the actress's name, but yeah, as was it Anna? Is it Anna in the show?
Anissa.
Anissa, sorry. Anissa in the show, badass, like just came out of nowhere, just looking like a god. I was just like, holy shit, like what's going on here? That was awesome. Seeing Alan turned into Super Saiyan 3 Alan, as you call him, was it was cool, but like I want more of that. And yeah, man, look, I mean, ultimately, I mean, my review sounds like I'm disappointed, and low key I am, but it was still a really great season. Like this is still a B in my opinion. From the voice acting, the animation, the action, the storytelling, like it's all great. They just didn't give me what I wanted all the time. So I can't give it any higher than a B, but you can tell that like it's gearing up for like a crazy season 3. So I'm absolutely here for it.
So I hear what you're saying about you wanting to focus more on the Viltrumite storyline. And while I do think that you're right, that is a super cool storyline that I would love to see explored more as well. If they were to do that, they would totally lose the identity of the show, in my opinion, because Invincible is kind of predicated on like, it just goes so many different places. Like that's how season 1 was, at least. Like we go here, we go here, we go here. And so just to streamline the story out of nowhere would feel like kind of like a disruption, in my opinion. And so I like the fact that we get to jump everywhere and maybe see like an average day on Mark in college and then go back to the Viltrumite shit. Like I know it might seem kind of jumbled, but that's just what Invincible is. That's its identity. Mm-hmm. I do think it was surprising in terms of the finale, in terms of like they didn't try to top season 1. And I'm actually kind of glad because they weren't just going for shock value just for the sake of shock value. They mm-hmm. were obviously trying to do whatever was best service to story, in my opinion. So I do like that. And the creators have actually come out and say like season 3, like every episode is going to feel like a fucking finale. They say like it's going to feel like crazy. Like, so
good.
I don't mind, I guess, the dip in antics and shock mm-hmm. value in the season, because like I said, I personally just enjoy the ride right now. So,
and look,
just to kind of counter that,
like I said, I am not trying to change this show's identity. This was still a fantastic, it was great, man. It just didn't personally give me what I wanted, and there's nothing wrong with that. Like they don't have to fucking appeal to me. They should appeal to the masses, which is what they're doing. So that's great. What do you think about the multiverse aspect of it? The characters that we did or did not see.
Yeah, of course. The Batman thing was funny. Mm-hmm. How the creator came out and said that was not Batman. but basically it is Batman. And the whole thing with the obvious Spider-Man thing. Because it was rumored for a long time that we would see Spider-Man in the show.
I don't understand where this nonsense came from. Like, people are so upset.
In the comics, I think they interact in the comics. I think there's like a multiverse
thing. Invincible and Spider-Man interact in the Invincible comics?
In the Invincible comic, yeah.
Wow.
Okay. So I think that's where they got that from. There's even a Walking Dead reference as well, which of course Robert Kirkman made both Invincible and Walking Dead. So, I thought it was cool. How about you? What were your thoughts on it?
It was cool. Yeah, like you said, like I'm pretty sure I laughed out loud at the Batman thing. I was like, this is ridiculous. When the whatever Spider-Man thing came on, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And like they got Josh Keaton to voice the character again. I was like, okay. This is cool. Like, I mean, I more so thought that it was like, you know, a wink to all the
wink and a nod. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, to all the what's that show called? Spider-Man Homecoming?
The Spectacular Spider-Man.
Spectacular Spider-Man that used to come on Disney XD. So, but yeah, niggas was mad.
I keep hearing that show's actually like really, really good. Actually,
it is. It is.
I never watched it. I think I was too old by the time it came out, or I thought I was too old at least. I thought that was a cool like meta joke. What they have like the animation and like how it was like, you know, if the cameras panned out and mm-hmm. you notice nobody's moving, like I thought that was really cool, like a commentary on their own show.
Yeah,
I thought that was done really well. So yeah. Last question I want to leave you with is like, how do you think this show compares to like modern anime, like Demon Slayer or whatever? Because I know it's different, but like, do you think it's like, would you consider it like a that great of a show, or do you think it's still like it? Because I know it's tiers when it comes to people who watch anime. Like, okay, I don't put shows like that on the tier like an anime, even though it's animated. But how do you tier like?
I mean, look, it's just different. Like, it's two totally different styles of storytelling. Even when it comes down to like just something as simple as action, like it's just so different. It's really hard for me to compare. It'd be easier to compare it to like a Teen Titans or a Justice League or an Avatar or whatever, but to compare it to anime is just, they're just two totally different things in my opinion. Like, it's really hard to compare.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, and I wouldn't choose Invincible over like any of these anime. Yeah, I watched Monkey Man opening night.
Anything else?
Brother, no.
Okay, well, I watched two. So, of course, mine is Monkey Man as well, but I also watched this movie called Musica, on streaming on Amazon Prime. It's the movie starring Rudy Mancuso. If that name sounds familiar, he's from Vine. He was very popular on Vine. So, to me, it's just really cool to see stars from Vine, like, make it into this level of stratosphere of, like, world tours and feature-length movies, like, of course, King Batch or Paige Kennedy, even singers like Destin Conrad, Shawn Mendes, so... It was really cool to see him do a feature-length movie because I've followed him on Vine for a long time, and Vine was like a big part of my adolescence and coming into my adulthood and college. He actually wrote this movie, directed it, and starred in it. So he did a lot of hats. And it also starred Camila Mendes from Riverdale, J.B. Smoove, and I think my favorite casting is his mom in real life, who plays his mom in the film. So basically what this movie is about is a guy who like experiences life and like everything that he sees, like in like the world, is like just music. Like he just hears like the train moving, sounds like a beat. Everything is just like you can tell he was like inspired by his real life. I thought it was just really cool to see how he basically put so much of his real life identity into this movie because he always had these vines like these puppets all the time. He puts his love for puppetry in the movie, his love for music, his love for his Brazilian culture. Everything just seemed so personal, almost kind of like very like a vulnerable state for him to put this in a movie. And honestly, I wasn't expecting too much from this movie. I just thought I wanted to support him. And it ended up being a really, really good movie. I was really surprised. Like for him to be this, his like a directorial debut, to star in it, to write it, I was very, very impressed, man. It's got some really cool transition shots and super, like, just super crisp. And like, it's got, I promise you, like around like, the 45 minute mark of this movie, there's like a transition sequence of like him going from his room to the kitchen to the date. It was honestly probably the most spectacular scene of shots I've ever seen in terms of like transition shots I've ever seen in the film period. And that's kind of the beauty of why I like to go and just give movies a chance. Like you always ask me, like, why would you watch that? Like, because you get to see moments like this where I get to see the most impressive things I've ever seen from a shot transition standpoint in an Amazon Prime movie with a star from Vine. Like, you know what I'm saying? So overall, I ended up really, really enjoying it, man. I give it a B. I recommend it to anybody who's like an artist, an aspiring artist trying to make it. There's a lot of cool themes there. So yeah, it's called Musica, now streaming on Prime Video, starring Rudy Mancuso. Now let's talk about Monkey Man, the new movie starring Dev Patel, produced by Monkey Paul and Jordan Peele. What were your thoughts on the Eastern John Wick?
Yeah, man. So I was excited to see this movie. I know you said at one point that this was your most anticipated film. You were more excited to see this than you were Dune Part 2 once you saw the trailer for this.
Not what I said. I said right after Dune Part 2.
Okay. I didn't necessarily share that sentiment, but I was still so, I mean, I was still excited to see it regardless because it just looked like maybe this could be like the next new entry into this action series that I love. Like I went to see one earlier this year with Jason Statham in the Bumble, whatever the fuck it's called,
the Beekeeper.
Thank you, which was absolutely fantastic. So it's it's still probably the best movie I've seen this year, which is absolutely insane. And yeah, I was hoping that you know this was going to put its stamp on the action franchise, and ultimately it just didn't for me. I do think that this movie was interesting to an extent. I do think that especially in the third act, like you can tell that's where like all the money went, that's where the budget went, that's where like all of the choreography and you know like they like the camera shots, like they amped it up in that third act, which was cool. But unfortunately it felt like the first two acts were just a little too politically drama-y, soapy to an extent. It was just a little too much of that. Now, this is obviously a very different style of film that we get here in the West. And I'm no stranger to these type of films. I mean, I've seen films from all over the world from, you know, since I was a kid. So this style of film wasn't new to me, but ultimately it just didn't resonate with me. And it's weird to say that like they didn't make me care enough because like they really tried. Like they had this entire political thing with transsexuals. Like they hinted at the horrors that may or may not have happened to his mother. And, you know, these guys are committing genocide. Like they really tried to push our buttons as to like why you should care about these people, why you should care about this story. But ultimately, man, I just did it. Like I did it, bro. Like, and you know, maybe that makes me just like a heartless American, and you know, that's probably what they think about us. But yeah. And you know, it's funny because like I am so easy to get. Like I really am. Like, you know, you grew up with a dad, like you've got this wall around you, you know, you're a tough macho man, you know, in your mind anyway. So like, you know, for you, like yeah, nigga, I'm saying like for you, like in like no.
Your damn reviews, bitch.
In your mind, you think that you're just like nothing can get to me. But like I'm not that guy. Like I really am easy to like get on an emotional level. And the fact that this film couldn't succeed was interesting. Dev Patel, though, he was fantastic, man. He was great. He was great in basically every scene that he was in, which was every goddamn scene. He carried this movie on his fucking shoulders. He directed, starred. Did he also produce in this as well?
And co-wrote.
So, yeah. And you can tell, because like I said, like he was in every goddamn scene. But yeah, ultimately, this movie, again, like it just missed me personally. Other than like that third act with all the cool stunts and cool camera work, and I just didn't love this. I really didn't, man. It's funny, like I almost walked out of this movie. I'm not gonna lie, like I almost walked out like midway through. I was just like, it's just not grabbing me. We get to the point in the scene where like we actually see what happens to his mother, and I was just like, okay, like if they're not going to get me here, why am I still watching this movie? Like, why? But ultimately, I am glad that I stayed, because like I said, like the third act was great. But in my opinion, this doesn't compare to like a John Wick or the Bourne series, or even the Beekeeper, what I saw earlier this year. Like, it just doesn't. Again, this is just my opinion. I ended up giving this movie a C.
Okay, so yeah, as you said, first of all, stop mentioning me in your reviews. as you said, Dev Patel had a lot of hands in here. This is another passion project. I just reviewed one, which was Musica. Now, like you said, he went through broken bones to get this film made. He broke his hand. He broke some toes. He went through financiers pulling out. At first, Netflix had bought it, and so they were going to release on Netflix. And then Jordan Peele saw an early screen. He was like, no, this deserves to be seen in theaters. So he put out in theaters with his Monkey Paw production company. So yeah, a lot had to be done for this movie to even get here. So I commend Dev Patel for that, at least. I think
okay.
I think the marketing did this movie wrong, and like you said, it was marketed like a John Wick movie, like a Jason Bourne movie, and that's not what it is. I mean, they obviously pull some inspiration from it, because they even like reference John Wick in the movie, but it's still a revenge story, yes, like John Wick, and it has a lot of good action choreography, really great action choreography, should I say, actually, but it's much more artsy and it's much more of a slowed down pace, and so I think that might disappoint viewers like yourself, or just like the general audience member who are going into it wanting just a action packed hour and a half or 2 hour movie, and that's not what you get. And so I
that's not even what I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry.
I mean, like that wasn't even my expectation. Like I wasn't expecting like a nonstop shoot 'em up, like I just thought it was going to be interesting. Like I thought it was going to have lore. Like I you know what I'm saying? Like, or whatever. Go ahead.
It definitely had lore, with him being based off of the Hanuman Indian lore, monkey man, whatever. But anyway,
yeah.
In the part where it lost you early on, it kind of entertained me, only because like it keeps you in suspense for a very long time in terms of mm-hmm. what his motivations are. Like, what mm-hmm. is he even doing this shit for? And so I could see how that could lose somebody. I was just intrigued to figure out what steps are we taking towards where. And once we finally found out, you know, I thought it paid off for me. Like I said, it has some brutal fights. He's put in some very impossible situations, which I thought was really, really good. That there's two really, this movie really only has two big fight sequences, one in the middle and one in the end. I like the one in the middle, I mean, I feel like you didn't give enough credit. I mean, that was a 20-minute sequence of just hell. Like, I thought it was shot beautifully, really, really cool. I thought he died at least twice. I really enjoyed that sequence, to be honest. My biggest complaint is that the mask was so, like, the actual Monkey Man mask was so striking. I was like, this is cool. Like when he's wearing it, it's like he's a fucking superhero or some shit. I wish he had it on more is my biggest complaint, because it's just such a visually striking mask. But I understand why, from a narrative standpoint, he didn't have it on, because he wants people to know who he's coming to kill. Hey, it's me, bitch. This ain't Monkey Man. This is Dev Patel. And so I get it. It had a really good training montage. I love me a good montage. Like Rocky, Creed movies that got me hype in the theater. I liked it. He put his body, I mean, he's still skinny as a rail, but you can tell he has some muscle there at least. And I think overall, he had some really gorgeous shots too. Like, I was really impressed by some of these just shots. Like, for him to be a first time director, I couldn't tell. Like, this, he looked seasoned in some aspects. Like, this looked beautiful in some shots. So, like, this looks like a portrait. So overall, I think I enjoyed it a lot more than you. I gave it a B+. But like I said, I wouldn't recommend it to just anybody. I'd give him the asterisk, like, hey, just letting you know, it's a little bit slower than the John Wick. Artsy at times, but I gave it a B+.
Cool.
Moving on. Albert Kim has stepped down as showrunner for the live action Avatar Last Airbender series. He has signed a deal with Disney, however, to work as an executive producer on the Percy Jackson series. Is this for the best for either show?
Well, look, you know, I was excited with you had me in the first half. I was like, okay, hey, stepping down, let's go. Fuck that. We don't need this nigga back for Avatar.
No, he's coming to draft Percy Jackson though now.
He's pull that shit back down, nigga. God damn.
I'm leaving here with something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. So, Percy Jackson season 2, I might just skip it at this point. Holy fuck. but at least Avatar season 2 will be better, hopefully, if they get a competent showrunner. So, yeah. This is great for Avatar. Percy Jackson, Jesus, man. Sorry.
Yeah, catch a win. Kit Harington says that the Jon Snow series is no longer happening. It is, quote, currently off the table because we couldn't find the right story to tell. Do you believe that excuse?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Because why would you even announce this show? First of all, this isn't something through like the rumor mill. Like, HBO themselves announced that this show was happening. Why would they announce that this show is happening and not have any type of structure, any type of, okay, this is where we want to go with the character. And then to come out like a year and a half later and be like, actually, we can't figure this shit out. So I don't know what the real reason is, because like that just sounds ridiculous. Like that can't be it. Like, it literally can't. And it's just disappointing. Like, this is the thing I'm looking forward to the most. Like, I don't give a fuck about the tall giant and the egg or whatever that shit's called. I don't give a fuck about Rhaegar coming to conquer. I don't care. I want to see Jon Snow.
Yes, you do care about Rhaegar coming to conquer.
Mm-hmm. But okay. I don't give a fuck. No, okay. I'll be there opening
night. Okay. Okay. No, that's fine.
But look, man, this Kit Harington Jon Snow thing was the thing I wanted the most. It really is. And it sucks that it looks like we're just not getting it for whatever reason. So, I mean, look, Kit Harington is a busy guy. He doesn't have, I don't know.
Is a nigga busy? I ain't seen a nigga in a minute. I ain't seen the Eternals.
Nigga,
the post credits scene.
I mean, he may not have time to do these fucking dumbass Game of Thrones shows. So, yeah, it is ultimately this is just bad news. It sucks, man. It sucks.
Yeah, I was excited for the Jon Snow, obviously as well. But I think, I mean, my theory, I could be totally wrong on this. Obviously, is that it's been rumored for a long time that he's like a raging alcoholic, and maybe that's just getting out of control. Because why haven't we seen him in anything? We see Amelia Clark everywhere else, Peter Dinklage everywhere else. So I don't know what's going on, but that's my...
that's a hell of an assumption. What?
I know, right?
What the fuck, nigga? All right.
Roadhouse has become Prime Video's most watched produced film ever, debuting worldwide with 50 million plus viewers so far. So, guys, Roadhouse Jake Gyllenhaal is killing it. Julian, I think you like it for what it is, to be honest, but that's just my opinion.
I've seen like a whole bunch of Conor McGregor stuff, and it cracks me up. I'm not going to lie. So, I don't know. This might be one of those 2 a.m. watches. We'll see.
Let's talk some trailers. Netflix has released the first trailer for their new Sandman, universe series called Dead Boy the Detectives. Okay, hold on. Are you okay, nigga?
I'm good. I had a fucking stroke over here. Let's try it again.
Okay, all right. Take two, nigga.
Released the first trailer for the new Sandman Universe series, Dead Boy Detectives, premiering Thursday, April 25th. Jesus Christ. So this show is set in the Sandman Universe, which was asked, what are your thoughts on the trailer?
Okay, so this is the trailer that you tagged me in today. I did not see this trailer, but I haven't even seen the Sandman show, so I'm not sure what viewing this trailer would even mean. So what do you think?
Well, it looks, based on the trailer, you can watch this show totally without having to watch Sandman at all.
Oh, okay.
It's just in that world. But honestly, the trailer looks kind of interesting. I'm not going to lie. But just because Sandman was so ass, hell no.
Really? Okay.
We have the trailer for Maxine has been released. This is in the movie world of like XXX or X, should I say, and Pearl. So that little slasher series. This is the third installment coming to theaters July 5th. Have you seen X, obviously, with Jenna Ortega? And you have.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
And then Pearl came after that. Now this is the third installment. I'm not sure if it's a prequel or a sequel or not, but the trailer's out, guys. If you watch those movies, watch the trailer.
You must not tag me in this one, buddy.
I did. We also have the trailer for, for Cuckoo, starring Hunter Schafer, coming out August 19th, new horror film. Hunter Schafer, of course, plays Jules on Euphoria. What are your thoughts on this new horror installment?
Remind me about what the fuck this one is. Cuckoo? Yeah, I don't know what this is.
Okay. Wow, he's just not reading any. Okay, cool. Yeah, this is a horror movie, guys. This is the one where I tagged you and you were like, I lost it. It's not there anymore. I tagged you again. You're like, okay, got it. But it's okay. Anyways, guys, horror trailer. It looks like something a little bit different. I might watch it depending on. It also stars what's called from Daredevil. No, from Iron Fist. Her name is Jessica Henwick. Yeah, she's in it as well. So I might check it out. Trailer for Fly Me to the Moon. This is a movie trailer, guys, starring Scarlett Johansson and Channing Tatum, coming out July 12th. What are you laughing at? And what are your thoughts on this trailer?
I didn't watch any of these trailers. I was just like, I don't. None of these sound familiar.
Do your fucking homework, bitch.
I know. I'm sorry.
One job.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, okay. Well,
I have multiple jobs actually.
Okay. Well, you do. Yeah, you do.
Go ahead.
Scarlett Johansson is looking very good in this trailer, but not enough to get me in the seat, unfortunately. Because Channing
Tatum. Damn.
I've never really been a fan of him, and this movie just doesn't look that interesting.
Really?
So yeah. And last trailer that we have here, guys, is for the big one, Joker Folie à Deux, or Joker 2.
Mm-hmm.
The trailer tyrants are out. They already connected the whole dots of the movie, according to these niggas. They know the whole plot of the movie based on the trailer.
That's
so annoying. But anyway, what are your thoughts on this Joker 2 trailer?
Yeah, it didn't necessarily impress me, but I don't think it really needed to, or did it? I'm pretty sure I said, like, on the last pod that we did, like, there's been, like, nothing out about this movie. Like, no images, no trailers, no teasers, no nothing. And it's supposed to be coming out this year. So it's good to finally get something. But, I mean, everybody's salivating over this shot where she draws a little smiley face and he goes in.
I know, like,
oh my god, cinema!
Is that
just like
that cool?
It's not. It really isn't. But okay, whatever. But yeah, I mean, look, it's gonna be a musical. Yay! 15 plus songs. I can't wait. Some originals and some callback. We'll see, man. Honestly, my expectations for this movie are like kind of at the ground, unfortunately. The trailer didn't necessarily do anything to like move the needle for that. I will say that it was good just to see Joaquin Phoenix back as Joker, because I do think he was masterful in the actual Joker film, even though I didn't love that movie either. but yeah, I mean, this trailer didn't move the needle for me. Lady Gaga, she looks like I expected her to look. Sure, let's do it.
Yeah, the trailer actually, I mean, it didn't give us too much, but I thought it...
Which is what it's supposed beautiful. To do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie looks gorgeous. I'll say that. It looks, just from like a cinematography standpoint. I'm still excited to see it just because I just have to know what Todd Phillips' plan is with this movie. I got to see if it's a dumpster fire or if it's glorious. I got to see. So, yeah, I'm invested at this point, man. I'm here for it, so...
I mean, look, by the way, I hope I am dead wrong. Like, I'm going to be there opening night, and I hope that this is just a cinematic masterpiece. Yeah, I just don't see it.
this $200 million budget. Yeah, we'll see how good it is. So it's going.
Batman's
going to
be
we'll
in
see.
It.
Batman and Superman and Flash. last thing that we're going to end, guys, is off with some tidbits. Godzilla X Kong, the creature designer, says that Godzilla's new pink transformation was inspired by Goku's Kaioken power up in Dragon Ball Z. That's an interesting little tidbit to me. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was more Super Saiyan Rose, but sure. Kaioken power up, cool. Not that he fucking needed it, but yeah, sure.
Let's talk some facts from the movie novelization that came out. You know, movies sometimes have like a novel that comes like with facts about the movie. I thought really interesting. So apparently Shimo, who is the ice dragon in that movie, is 3 million years old. So that's really crazy. And also it's confirmed that she is the one to have frozen Ghidorah. So when we see Ghidorah in King of the Monsters and he's frozen in that ice, they said that Shimo was the one that put him there. So that's really, really interesting to me.
Okay.
So yeah, that's really it in terms of the Godzilla tidbits. Just random. Have you ever seen this movie called Shin Godzilla that came out like 2016, 2017? It was like the last Toho movie.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but I've heard decent things about it. I actually might check it out.
Same. I've heard really, really great things about it. And so I saw like this TikTok video of him using his atomic breath. And I was like, oh my God, like that's the coolest use of atomic breath I've ever seen. Even surpassing Godzilla Minus One. Like I was like, that is fucking nuts. So guys, if you don't watch Shin Godzilla, at least watch his little breath, because it's like fucking nuts. So yeah. But guys, that wraps it up. You have any lasting thoughts or no?
Thanks, Monty. Make sure you guys like and subscribe to the Current Era Pod. Comment down below. What did you think of Monkey Man? I know you haven't seen
Invincible
it.
Season 2.
Or Invincible. Or The Walking Dead. Yeah, who cares? We thought about that. All right. Thanks, guys. You're the best. Monty, thank you.
All right. Thank you.